Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to All Things Internet. This is a show we talk about things that we see on the internet that usually have to do with the internet, and I have Emily fact check about 97% of the time. Welcome to a normally scheduled episode. The last week we had an emergency episode where we talked about the Roe versus Wade overturn that the Supreme Court is leaning towards, and now it's a normal one. But I'm going to stop talking because I don't even know what's going on. Hi, I'm in New Orleans. I'm Rachel Ballinger. And this
Yay! Is... I'm Emily Brostaff.
Where are you?
I'm in my childhood home still.
Yeah.
For another 10 days. And then I go.
You hit the road to me?
I come to you.
Do you come to me? And then starting in July, our podcast will be in person.
I know. We won't have technical difficulties like this anymore.
I love our technical difficulties. I think it adds character. But we will be in person and it will be a lot better. But anyway, hi, Emily. How you doing today? Oh, it's going to freeze every once in a while just because... visually it'll freeze, but audio wise we're recording our microphones separate, so audio you get a nice sounding episode. I just got a notification that my internet connection is unstable. I'm just gonna keep talking. All right, Emily, how you doing?
Am I frozen on your end?
Nah, you can see it now. You were, but we're good.
Oh my god, this is so chaotic. I'm doing good. I'm just tired. But what else is new? Like, I need to, like, wake up. I wish I liked coffee or soda.
I can make you like coffee. My girlfriend never drank it, and now she drinks cold brews with me in the afternoon.
Ooh, I want to be part of the cold brew club.
The cold brew crew!
Oh, that's good.
I love it.
I like that.
All right.
Am I frozen again?
No, I'm just waiting for you to talk about the news. I'll keep entertaining everyone. Oh, I'll keep going.
Usually you're like, okay, go. I was waiting for my cue.
Sorry. And scene. Emily, please inform us of what happened this week on the internet.
Yes. I know a lot of people wanted us to cover the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard case this week, but after we did our emergency Roe versus Wade episode, I have to admit, my capacity to research and write up a story on something I don't really know much about was like at 1%. So we're going to save that for next week. The trial goes on for like another 3 weeks, I want to say. But there's so much information to go over. And you know how I am. I will not report on something that I'm not confident on. So instead, we're going to talk about some positive news. Because that's
a
needed right now. A positive moment. And then we're going to talk about the Met Gala. And then we're going to play a game and then answer some questions. So this is just going to be like a more lighthearted episode.
Okay. Sounds good.
You're frozen.
Oh, sorry. It does. Okay. Also, my brain was frozen because I just had a creative genius idea and it rarely happens. And now I feel like I need to write.
Yeah, I was going to say write it down.
I got
Yeah.
It wasn't me for that. Because I was thinking about...
We're both on the struggle bus.
No, listen. I'm good. I was thinking about Rachel.
Am I
since it-
better than everyone else? Wow. Anyway, what was your thought?
I can't tell you right now. I'll tell you later. You're informed, but sorry. I have to write down a creative thought. This is how I break...
I encourage this.
Got it. You could just
Okay,
talking.
While you write that
you
down.
Talking.
Yeah. This well, you write that
every,
down.
Every one.
I'm going to go.
Mess. Sorry.
Yeah.
I promise I'm sober. I'm drinking an iced coffee out of a wine glass, but I promise I'm sober. There's no alcohol involved.
Honestly, if the internet was better, this wouldn't even be so chaotic.
I kind of like it.
It adds. All right. So good news for this week. This isn't like so much good news, but like it's just like funny. A woman bought a $35 statue head from her local thrift store in Texas. So she just saw this like, you know, like bust. You know what a butt like
yeah.
bust is? She saw this like bust.
As you do.
You know what? Okay, okay. You're frozen, so like I can't see your reaction.
Oh, sorry.
Anxiety. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. So yeah, she bought.
I'll actively
she
listen.
Bought this $35. Thank you, statue head from her local thrift store in Texas, and she brought it home and she had it appraised because she is like an art collector. But she didn't know. She had it. I think she had a suspicion, but didn't know for sure. So she brought it home and she had it appraised, and it happened to be a 2,000-year-old. Roman bust.
What?
So,
how much?
Yeah.
How much
so
was
this
it
was
worth?
Like, she's doing the right thing and she's giving it back to the country. So, she's currently in the process of returning it to Germany where it disappeared following World War II, which we should be doing with all of our collections. We should be giving them back to the countries that they came from. So she's doing the right thing. But yeah, I kept trying to find articles talking about how much it was worth, and they wouldn't even like say, because she's just giving it back instead of selling it. So
wow,
interesting.
That's
at a thrift store.
I'm sure like whoever stole it from the country original, like they just kept passing it down to the point where people like didn't even know, or like at one point their house was foreclosed on because whatever, and people just didn't know what it was, and you know,
right.
grandkids and things and stuff happens. So that's, I mean, considering how old
one
it
of
is.
One of the girls I nannied in DC, she had this beautiful painting in her room. And I mean, I always admired it, but like I always just thought it was, you know, something they got at like, I don't know, like Home Goods. And then I got a closer look to it one day and I could tell it was textured, like it wasn't a flat like copy.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's weird. And as I was like touching it, she comes up and she had just been like playing with makeup, and she goes to touch it and she leaves this massive like foundation fingerprint on the painting.
Oh,
and I was like, whoopsie, and just like went to go like clean it off. I looked it up later. It was like a $6,000 art piece.
Oh.
And like they had no idea because their grandma sent it to them, but it was an original art piece. And so I immediately took it out of her room and like put it on the third floor. And I was like, no one is touching this.
The third floor, a sentence. Yeah, but this, the sentence, I took the $6,000 art piece out of the little girl's room and put it on the third floor.
It's DC.
Okay.
Hi. God, the internet. All right. And then an Irish woman, she won $145 million lottery, and she's already given away over half of her winnings. And her main quote was, "I'm addicted to helping people." So go you. That's amazing.
I love that.
Yeah. Scientist this week discovered. Oh, you're so frozen. I literally don't know how
to interact. I'm listening. I'm sorry.
I just don't want to talk while you're talking because
I won't talk. I just won't talk. I'll just sit here and enjoy you.
Okay. Scientists discovered the genetic cause of lupus, which means they can now start to develop a more targeted treatment, which is amazing.
What is it? What is? Sorry, I knew I said I would listen. What's the cause? What's the genetic cause?
That was way over my head.
Got it. Sorry.
Way over my head.
Thought maybe it was something simple.
I just know that. No, we need Hank Green for that.
Oh,
right. And then in Texas, scientists have created a protein that breaks down plastic bottles. So they're describing it as a Pac-Man protein that gobbles up plastic and breaks it down. And this could potentially open the door to eliminating billions of tons of landfill waste. So
wait,
that's
I feel
very exciting.
I feel like I've heard about this before. Like, this isn't the first time that this has been created. Like, I feel like I've heard about that. Why?
Yeah, they've been working on it in stages, and this week it seems to be like finalized. Like they're feeling very confident about it. So I don't know how they're gonna roll that out on like a mass scale, like, you know, to everyone for everyone to have access to that technology. But
I have so many questions. Can we touch it? Where does it go? How do you apply it?
That's what I was saying. That's what I was wondering is like where, because they say gobbles it up, which implies like a living thing.
I'm thinking.
But I don't think it's.
I'm thinking Pac-Man status. Just gobble, gobble. Right. But I don't think that's right.
Because if it's, maybe it's just, I don't know. Again, this is way over our heads. I'm just.
Yeah.
I'm giving what I got.
Okay. Hank Green. That's another
Snapchat.
Hank Green.
Yeah. We need him. We need you in our time of need. Snapchat created a selfie camera that flies around your head. So the social media giant has unveiled Pixie, which is a miniature drone that they've dubbed your friendly flying camera. It's $230. It can take off from your hand. Like you can hold out your hand and it'll launch. And it has four preset flight paths, including floating, orbiting, and following you wherever you lead. So it's like a little mini drone that will take selfies for you, which honestly, I'm here for.
Why? I just want to know who came up with this. Like, who was just like, I wish I just had a camera above me right. that just buzzed around. I don't think anyone's going to buy it. It's not going to be a long-term thing. I don't think it's going to take off.
Really?
I don't think so. I can't imagine. But I want to see. I obviously want to try it, but I don't want to buy it.
Yeah, yeah. All right, and our last little good news blurb is there is a Chihuahua living in Florida, and it's officially the world's oldest dog. He's 21. His name is Toby Keith, and he is the new Guinness Book of World Records holder for oldest dog. He was born on the 9th of January in 2001.
What a cutie. Does he look ugly? Did you see a picture of him? Oh, he does not
look. He looks
look
like
cute.
An old dog. Like, okay. He just looks like, you know.
Congrats to him.
I'm sure to other people he's very cute.
An insult. That's like a face only a mother could love.
No, he just looks like an old Chihuahua, which is fine. I'm not a big Chihuahua fan. I'm sorry if that insults anyone. I'm sure they're great. I got bit by one, and so I'm a little biased. I'm biased. I'm going to admit that I'm being biased.
Okay. First step to anything is admitting it.
Thank you. Yeah. So there's some positive news, everyone. Look.
Yay.
I can be positive.
A positive moment. I love it.
Positive moment. All right. So our big topic that we're going to talk about today is the Met Gala drama. So this year's theme was Gilded Glamour.
What does that mean?
I don't know what that means. Purposely. So gilded means like super wealthy and like obviously glamour means glamour. So that was an interesting choice. But they came out and said that that they purposely chose this theme because, oh, now it's saying my internet connection is unstable.
I can still hear you. What? I didn't
what are we
do
doing?
Trying okay, to okay. exist. We are trying our hardest to exist. Okay. It's not always going to happen. We're not always going to do it well. I told Emily.
In July.
Yes. I told Emily this can be a short podcast because we did our emergency episode. So you've already had a long episode. I don't even know how long it ended up being because I gave Emily free reign at the end. But it's good. But this one might have to be a little shorter because
it was still only 45 minutes.
Cool. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you look bummed about it?
So, yeah. I think I'm just lagging.
Oh. I was like, why are you looking sad? Because
you're lagging. Oh, no. I'm proud of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. So Gilded Glamour as the theme, they purposely chose that concept because it leaves, this is a direct quote, it leaves plenty of room for interpretation and pulls inspiration from New York's Gilded Age, when excess and grandiosity defined both the decades and the fashion. So basically this was like a dress like a rich person, which interesting choice.
So all the rich people just had to dress like themselves? I'm so confused.
That's like Kourtney Kardashian kind of just showed up and she was like, I didn't understand the theme. You are the theme. You're fine. You could show up in a trash bag and you would be the theme. You're fine. Like, but anyway, so there was a few moments throughout the Met Gala where there was some drama. The first drama that I'm going to talk about is between Billie Eilish and Cardi B. So Cardi B at some point was performing, I want to say at an after party, and you can see Billie Eilish in the crowd, and there was a fan that was standing behind her that was recording Billie Eilish watching Cardi B perform, and you can see Billie turns to like a friend or a manager in the middle of Cardi performing, and she mouths, "That's so weird." And so the person took that clip of Billie saying that and threw it on the internet. And of course it went viral because people were like, oh, Billie's like insulting Cardi, and Cardi, look at this. Billie hates your music and, you know, yada, yada, yada. So then apparently they're good friends. So Cardi reached out to Billie and like sent it to her as a joke and was said something sarcastic. Yeah. And then Billie like voice memoed her back on Instagram. It was like, no, I was so scared you were going to see that clip and take it the wrong way. She was like, I was actually saying that's so weird because I saw several fans shoving phones really close to your butt. And she was like, and I was commenting on how close these fans were shoving their phones like near your nether regions. And Cardi was like, oh, I know, I'm just messing with you. And like, so then Cardi like screen recorded that whole interaction between them and then posted that on Twitter and was like, why are you guys always trying to start beef between like me and my friends? And so I'm really glad that was
able to be handled at such a mature, normal level and not just like an immediate beef that happens that then Billie has to make a public statement. It was just humans texting and we're like, right. This good? We good? I like that.
We good?
Yeah. Because most drama is just miscommunication.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Another little drama moment that happened. We don't have much information on it, but do you know about the whole Olivia Rodrigo and Sabrina Carpenter drama?
No.
Olivia Rodrigo's the one that wrote the driver's license song.
Yeah. Is what was it about? Well, Sabrina Carpenter?
She won't come out and say that it is, but it's allegedly about her because the whole song is about how, you know, she had this great love and then they broke up and then he started dating this blonde girl. And in Olivia's real life, she had this boyfriend, they were in love, they broke up, and then he started dating Sabrina Carpenter. And so the whole internet like put it together. It went like the whole theory went viral on TikTok the same time that the song came out because everyone was trying to figure out who it was about. And so supposedly like they hadn't spoken since Olivia released Driver's License. But then I want to say like 2 months later, Sabrina Carpenter released her own song. And it was basically a diss track of Olivia. So again, instead of handling this privately, they were making diss tracks about each other. None of this was confirmed by them because, you know, why would they? But it was pretty clear. And it's so they haven't spoken. All allegedly. They hadn't spoken. Like, they weren't spotted together. Like, they just kept their distance from each other. But at the Met Gala, either a fan or like someone attending, like one of the celebrities attending, took a photo of another celebrity attending. And in the background of that photo, if you zoom in, you can see Olivia Rodrigo face to face with Sabrina Carpenter. And she has this like really mean look on her face. And so, and like no one noticed when this photo of, I can't remember who was the actual like person that this photo was of, but no one noticed because they were too busy looking at the main person. But then the internet started scrolling into the background and they saw that they were like face to face and it looked like allegedly they were arguing. And but again, they haven't made statements or anything. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
I'm surprised there wasn't more photos of it.
Right. I, well, that's why I think because if it had been more than like a 10-second interaction, I feel like everyone would have photographed it.
Yeah.
So I think in my opinion, this was probably just like a passing by. And honestly, I don't feel like she was probably yelling at Sabrina. If I had to guess, she was being polite and being like, oh, hi. And then like moving on. But the way the camera captured it, they probably just happened to capture her face in a certain position. And now the internet's going to blow it up and make theories. Yes. But yeah, what I wouldn't give to be a fly on the wall and listen to whatever that 10-second conversation was.
Man, I wish I was just there at the just any carpet thing, because it always seems glamorous with the shots, but like it's a mess and people are just yelling and screaming because of just like photographers and stuff. It's an entertaining thing to see,
right?
You have all these famous rich people there.
Oh, right. Yep. Well, and then speaking of famous and rich,
I have to check to see if we have a sponsor for today. Sponsor!
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, sorry. You may continue.
Oh, good. So Kim Kardashian got in a bit of trouble because I want to get this story right. I read lots about it, but my brain is functioning on about 2% right now. She reached out to Ripley, believe it or not, and asked if she could wear one of Marilyn Monroe's very iconic dresses that they happen to have in their museum or in their store. Like they had it, so like Ripley owned it. And so she reached out to them and said it was the dress Marilyn Monroe wore when she was singing President Kennedy, when she was singing him his happy birthday song, which led to like a lot of drama back in the day. And because it kind of solidified the rumors that JFK and Marilyn Monroe had an affair, is when she sung this song to him. And it was like very sexy and sensual. And like that's when all the rumors got lost. So it's a very iconic dress. And so Kim Kardashian reached out to Ripley's and said, how would you feel about loaning me this dress for the Met Gala? And of course, like it was wild what I read. Like she had to have a representative from Ripley's like escort her to make sure like nothing happened to the dress. And like they had to go through all of these like legal things. Like it was like they had multiple day meetings and like whatever. But you know, yeah, what Kim K wants, Kim K gets. And so she ended up being allowed to wear the dress. But what happened was, and this is like the drama, what happened was is they wouldn't let her try it on, right? Because they said, you get one time to wear it. You get to wear it at the Met Gala. You basically get to wear it up the stairs, through the red carpet, and then you have to take it off at the bottom of the stairs and change into something different, and then we're going to take it back. So you're allowed to be photographed in it for about 15 minutes, but you don't get to eat dinner in it. You don't get to hang out in it. Fair. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
And so because they wouldn't let her try it on, they hired this seamstress, like top of the line seamstress, to come in and recreate the dress so that they could make sure she could fit into it, because they weren't going to make alterations to it because why would you do that for 15 minutes of photos?
Yeah.
So a seamstress came in, completely recreated it, like stitch by stitch, and then had Kim K try it on, the duplicate. Fit perfectly, you know, they were like, okay, you're good to go. Well, the day of the Met Gala run, like, you know, rolls around, she goes to change into the actual dress and not the duplicate, and they can't zip it up. And it's because the seamstress used a different material, because back when Marilyn Monroe wore it, the very, very different textiles back then, and the textiles that the seamstress now used were a little stretchier. So when Kim K went to go put the dress on, they couldn't zip it up. And so she was like freaking out. Actually, no, I'm sorry. All right, let me correct myself. She tried it on 2 weeks before the Met Gala, right? So just to make sure, tried it on 2 weeks before, couldn't get it zipped up. So this is where the big controversy comes in. She's on the red carpet. She's fitting now into the iconic dress. She's telling this story about how the seamstress like messed up with the materials, or like it just didn't even occur to her, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they were having this whole struggle 2 weeks ago. She almost didn't fit into it. And then she says something along the lines of like, I had to go on this crazy crash diet in order to fit into this dress, and I lost 16 pounds in 2 weeks, and was like bragging about it. And so she would like, I know. Immediately she got backlash for that. Yeah. And then that's when her personal like trainer came forward and made a statement to TMZ. And he said, like through hard work and dedication and a strict diet, like Kim K was able to do this the natural, healthy way. And like, you guys need to stop ragging on her. Like, she did it the right way. I'm sorry, but there's no, like, you cannot be healthy and lose 16 pounds in 2 weeks. No. Like, that is impossible to do that in a healthy manner.
No, that is like, starving yourself. Come on. That is literally starving yeah. yourself, which is so bad for your body. That right. is terrible. Right. And that is and not to, like, something just, to promote.
Like, to just stand on the red carpet and be like, oh, yeah, I didn't fit into it. So I had to force myself to lose 16 pounds. Like, for that to not even occur to her, like, how dangerous that is to talk about when you have that amount of power and influence. Yeah. What are you doing? What are you, where's your PR guy? Come on.
Like, that's just going to make girls who don't fit in their wedding dress or their prom dress think it's okay to starve themselves. And they're going to pass out. They're going to. People are not gonna do well because that's so bad for you. I hate that. That's upsetting.
Yeah it was a very, and again, it could have been like, it could have just slipped out. I mean, I say stuff all the time that I don't mean to, and I have the luxury of being able to edit before yeah. I post anything online, so like, I'm gonna give her a slight pass and say like, maybe it just popped out and she didn't mean it, and like I know that she meant it as in like it was facts, but like, maybe, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to be nice, but yeah
you don't have to. She shouldn't have said it. Like, she knew where that story was leading. She knew.
True.
So it wasn't like she accidentally said a word she wasn't supposed to say.
True. Yeah. I think for them though, because the entire reason they have their empire that they do is because they are attractive and wealthy women. So maybe to her, it doesn't even occur. Like, when you're in that like headspace for what, like 10 years, keeping up with the Kardashians is like 10 years.
I have no idea.
Like, and you're told every day that like, you're, I know I would watch it, but I don't have like cable. And well, I know the new one's on streaming, but anyway, maybe it's just so ingrained to her that this is like normal culture of like losing weight and doing what you have to look pretty. And like, you know, maybe it just didn't occur to her that this was like a dangerous thing. But like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. Okay.
I did. So that was it for the drama that I'm going to talk about at the Met Gala. But I did want to ask your opinion because I'm very curious. My friend and I were arguing about this the other night. Do you think influencers should be attending functions like the Met Gala?
Why not?
Strictly influencers.
Why?
I'm just getting your opinion.
Who is the Met Gala supposed to be? Is there a rule?
For celebrities. It was originally for actors and actresses.
So,
and models. Singers? And like high powerful people. Yeah, singer. Yeah, it's just very like high powerful celebrities.
Okay. I mean, why not influencers?
That was kind of my argument, because my argument is like, influencers are our generation and below's celebrities. Like, sorry, my dad can drink water and it's gonna be obnoxious.
No, that's fine. You're like, there are influencers who have bigger followings and bigger dedicated like mega fans than a lot of singers or actors or actresses or politicians or models or whatever. I think the only reason people would be against influencers is because people hate them because that they're successful at doing something that looks easy. It looks like people think like influencers don't have talent or they're just annoying or whatever. It does. It takes creativity. It takes dedication. It takes hard work to be here. And people think of it as a less than thing. Like, people don't. And I think that's really messed up. I mean, not just because of like, I don't think I'm any sort of status to be at a Met Gala, but I know a lot of influencers who have gone that work their butt off and are very, very famous. Like, I don't see why they wouldn't be there. It's people don't respect it as a job. People don't respect it as a career, which doesn't make any sense because influencers have worked very hard to get where they are. So I don't know why people would say it's not fitting.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's just the way that our world and our media is changing. And I think older generations, even people in our generation, I think are having a hard time accepting that the influencers are invading this, not even invading, they're like in being incorporated into the celebrity space. But it's because that they are like influencers. When you get to a certain point, you are celebrities to our generation and below. So like, I think that's where the divide is they're not understanding how these influencers that they believe just, you know, dance in front of the camera twice a day and get millions of dollars, like, they don't believe that they've earned the right to celebrity status. But like, that's the way our media is these days. Like, who in Gen Z, like, and feel free to comment and tell me, but like, who in Gen Z, actually obsesses?
Let's pause. Let's check to see if we have another sponsor for today while your dog drinks some water. Sponsor. You were saying something.
Yes. Sorry. I was telling Rachel, my dog is very obsessed with my dad. And if she can hear him but can't access him, she just whines and whines and whines. And I don't know what this microphone picks up, so I didn't want to annoy anyone.
That's fine.
But yeah, I think what the problem is our generation and up is having a really hard time accepting that influencers.
But you were saying, correct you if you're wrong, but is anyone in Gen Z?
Oh, right. Right. I personally don't know anyone in Gen Z that obsesses over movie and TV stars as much as they do over internet influencers.
Yeah,
it's almost like that culture is
the only exceptions like
slightly
are like
fading
Tom,
out.
Yeah, the only exceptions are Harry Styles, Tom Holland, and like the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah.
And right. Zendaya.
Oh, love her. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, I feel like younger generations are more obsessed with and like, yeah, follow more closely with internet celebrities than they do like Hollywood celebrities.
Yeah.
And I feel like Hollywood celebrities are having a hard time like letting them into their space. Because allegedly, there was a moment that was caught on camera where Kendall Jenner, I think it was Kendall Jenner and is it Gigi Hadid?
I don't know.
Is that, I know there's Bella and, oh, that's so bad. One of the Hadid sisters and Kendall Jenner were sitting on a couch and someone caught Kendall Jenner doing this like very specific arm pose when the camera was pointed on her and then started like laughing. And then the Hadid sister started like laughing and being like, oh, come on, like, and trying to get her to stop doing it. And the internet, of course, within 5 seconds put it together that she was mimicking Addison Rae on the carpet in front of the cameras because Addison Rae did this very familiar pose with her arms. And so now it's like allegedly, you know, that Kendall Jenner was making fun of this influencer.
Why do people not like stop bullying? Stop trying to make it a cool kids club and like it's so high school. Stop it.
Right.
Stop it.
Right.
Sorry.
It's just like, I'm sorry, but I don't know. Maybe I'm going to get hate for this, but like, I feel like Addison Rae has worked just as hard as Kendall Jenner. Like, they were both very lucky where they got handed something. Like, Addison Rae, she stumbled into TikTok fame. But now, like, I feel like, and I don't even like follow her, so I'm not like an Addison Rae stan, but like I feel like I see how much she posts and I see like, you know, the marketing that she's doing and like the brands that she's, you know, going out and grabbing. And like, Kendall, that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
It is exactly what you're doing. So like, why are you making fun of her? Yeah.
It's stupid.
I don't know.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that so much. That's unfortunate. All right.
Yeah.
Is that
everything? That's it for our news. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, do you have a game or a question or do you want to just leave?
No, I'm actually like a little more awake now.
Oh, okay.
But my mom was asleep and my dad was working, so I had no one to talk to before we got on Zoom. And this is how I wake up, is social interaction. So I'm good to go now.
I figured.
Yeah. So I have a game for you.
All right.
It's called, I come up with the titles and I thought it was good. It's called, oh yeah, I read that online once. That sounded worse when it came out of my mouth. It sounded very witty in my head. And then when I just said it, Anyway, so I'm gonna read you what I consider to be a pretty common fact that's been circulating online for years, and you're gonna have to guess whether it's true or not, and I fact check all of these.
Okay.
All right. So the first fact that's been floating online forever, is it true or false that you taste different things on different parts of your tongue? For example, you have one portion of your tongue that is in charge of tasting sour, one portion in charge of tasting salt.
I'm going to say true because I remember in seventh grade a teacher explaining this.
Same, but it's false.
I thought so. Because as a human being, I've put stuff and I'm like, this tastes the same on every part of my tongue. I don't know what they're talking about. So the fact that a teacher was telling, I'm done.
Same. Yeah, same. Like it was like sixth or seventh grade science class. Yeah. I remember the tongue chart.
Yeah.
Where they like divided everything. But yeah, no, it's false. You don't have different regions specialized for different tastes on your tongue. It's all the same.
Thank God. Because yeah. I thought I was weird.
All right. True. My tongue is broken. All right. True or false? Dolphins sleep with one eye open.
False.
It's true. They shut down half their brain at a time for sleep so the other half can look out for predators. So whatever half of their brain is still on, that eye is also open.
Weirdo. A little creepy. It's a little creepy creeps.
Yeah, it is a little creepy.
Yeah, close your eyes.
This one's a good one. Close them.
Come on, stop looking at me. It's freaking weird.
All right. You can see the Great Wall of China from space.
True.
Mm-mm. You can't even see it from low orbit. No astronauts have ever reported seeing human-made objects from space. It all started because a news reporter back in, I want to say, like, early 2000s was hyperbolizing when he was reporting, and he was like, it's so big you can see it from space. And then for some reason this took off, and I've been seeing this online for years that these astronauts can always see, you know, the Great Wall of China, but nope, no one's wow. ever reported being able to, and they look for it, you just can't see it.
Wow.
This is one that we've always been told. It takes 7 years for your body to digest one piece of swallowed gum.
Oh, that's false.
Yeah, it comes out in a matter of hours or days.
Yeah. Why? Why do we try and tell people not to swallow gum then?
I don't know.
Like, I have a
maybe
fear
our parents
of it.
Were like just trying to. Oh, same. Even though I know it'll just come right out, I'm like, what if this is it? What if this is the one time
it just gets stuck?
Right. Okay. Walt Disney's body is cryogenically frozen.
False.
Yeah, I thought it was true up until I fact checked. I thought it was true.
Oh, I thought that was always false.
But they say that I'd always heard there was a cryogenics lab under Disney World, and then that he built for himself because this part is true. He was a huge futuristic science theorist, and he did say several times that he believes that in the future years, if people are cryogenically frozen, that they'll be able to, scientists will be able to unfreeze them and bring them back. And so, yeah. And the rumor started because the president of the Cryonics Society of California told the Los Angeles Times that Walt Disney had inquired about the process. So,
okay.
I'm just saying, where's his body? How do we know?
Let me see it.
Let me see
it.
Okay, on average you swallow 8 spiders a year in your sleep.
I read that a lot, so I'm gonna say true, but I don't think it is.
Several scientists have said if a sleeping person has their mouth open, which you and I are both open mouth sleepers, it's embarrassing.
Wide open.
I'm just yeah, you
could drive a semi truck in there. I can park it.
Scientists say if people are sleeping with their mouth open, they're likely snoring and creating vibrations that warn spiders of danger and scare them off. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say this is 25% fact checked. I'm going to say this is 0% fact checked. But you know what I read where this started was? I read that this whole rumor started because we have been told this since we were children, that you swallow 8 spiders. It's like fact.
Yeah.
Your mom's like, yeah, you swallow 8 spiders a year.
It's like a Snapple lid fact. Like, it's just what it is.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
Extra protein.
Sure.
Come on. But I read, I think it was like BuzzFeed or something a few years back, that this whole rumor started because a female scientist in the U.S. wanted to prove how quickly rumors get like rumors get adapted into truth. Yeah. And so she started this rumor to see how fast it would circulate and how fast people would start to believe it. Mm. And now it's like one of the most commonly believed facts
and
on the internet.
Who was it that like someone got their ribs removed so they could satisfy themselves orally? Marilyn Manson?
I say that again.
There was a rumor that I heard back in California. My girlfriend heard on the East Coast. Like, everyone knew this rumor growing up. It's a complete fact that I think it was Marilyn got his ribs removed so he could pleasure himself orally. Everyone heard this rumor.
I heard that too. I don't know if it's true.
It's not. It's physically impossible. Your ribs are there to, like, you. Without your ribs, you're done. It is the biggest lie. And for some reason, East Coast to West Coast, everyone heard this growing up. And I have no idea how, because we didn't have the internet like we do now. I don't know why people knew, thought this.
I heard he got one removed, like one on each side so that he could bend over easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It's all false.
Look at you. Oh, my God.
Wow. I participated in the game.
All right. My last one I have for you is that blood is blue in your body until it hits the air and is oxygenated and turns red.
I thought it was purple.
You froze. What'd you say?
Oh, I thought it was purple.
Oh.
What color is
it? Are we going with true or false?
I was going, it's like a dark red.
It's all red in your body.
Yeah, I heard it was like, because when they take the vials of it out and it hasn't touched oxygen, it's just a deep, deep, deep color. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, they say the tissue covering your veins affects how the light is absorbed and scattered, which is why the blood circulating why your veins look blue, is because it absorbs and refracts light at a certain, so it's all red and it's all like everything's red, but the way your body refracts that light to you. So
all right, well, I like that game.
Cool. I'm glad we cleared some of that up.
Yeah. God, you don't swallow the spiders, you can swallow the gum, and don't have ribs to remove so you can swallow yourself. Too far. Wrong podcast.
I'm gonna take that clip when I'm editing, and that's gonna be my new ringtone. You can't swallow the spiders, you can swallow the gum, and you can remove ribs to swallow yourself.
You can't remove ribs to swallow yourself.
I clearly learned a lot from this episode.
Oh, I think that is it today, though. I think that's the end of this. All right. Thank you. If you listened to this all the way through, I applaud you for sticking around, because this was a mess. I sure Emily will try and clean it up as much as she can post, but you're a true fan if you stayed the whole way. We will be back next week unless there's an emergency for some reason. But they burped it. I love you guys. Thanks for listening, Emily. Do you have anything else to add? Or saying bye? Can you hear me at all?
You've been frozen for like 30 seconds, but I love you all.
There it is. All right. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of All Things Internet. Please make sure to like and follow our podcast on whichever platform you're currently listening to it on. And make sure to follow us at PodcastATI on Twitter, where you can ask questions and get the latest updates on our show. We love you. Thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Ballinger, and this has been All Things Internet.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.